Hey, good morning, everybody. Big three headlines this morning. So, bombshell report coming out of the New York State Assembly on Andrew Cuomo. It does conclude, as Letitia James did, that he did sexually harass a number of women, including some of his staffers. He also covered up the nursing home deaths from COVID, and he forced aides to work on his stupid book, for which he got paid $5.1 million. And just our luck, when all this great, juicy stuff comes out, who's not here today? Len Berman. I mean, come on. So Noam is in for Len this morning because Len is just hiding in his den. Well, actually, what else is new? even when he's working, he's hiding in his den. Also, we've got the suspect in Wisconsin. His name is Daryl Brooks, a convicted sex offender. He's the guy who plowed into those people in the Christmas parade. Terrible, terrible story there. Apparently, he was fleeing a domestic disturbance. The police were in hot pursuit, and he just killed a number of people and injured 40, 45, I think the number's creeping up to. Terrible, terrible story. And rounding out the big three, got to hand it to Kyle Rittenhouse, Mr. Vigilante. He's going after Joe Biden for attacking him for being a terrible human being. And I agree with you, Noam. I think this kid should sue the pants off places like MSNBC or National Public Radio, which called him a white supremacist, which called him a racist, called him all these terrible things. He should sue them and get a nice big fat settlement from those people.
Well, and not only did they do that, but they made up stories about him that ended up not being true at all. Just completely fabricated stuff that they aired on news networks. And it wasn't during their talk shows. It was during their news segments. So I think he has a lot of places where he can go after them.
Good for him. Go after them. Okay, very happy to welcome to the program Assemblyman Ron Kim from Queens. First of all, good morning, Ron. How you doing?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Now, Ron, I have to salute you. When Cuomo was one of the most powerful, well, he was the most powerful person in New York State, you came out and you openly said, this guy is a bully. This guy was on the phone with you, threatening to destroy you. And I'm just curious, when everybody else was so terrified of this thug we had as a governor, what motivated you to put your neck on the chopping block to tell us the truth about this horrible person?
Well, if you saw what I saw on the ground last year in the middle of the pandemic in New York and having thousands of families isolated from the loved ones in nursing homes, we made promises that we were going to hold this executive accountable. And it wasn't an easy choice because I was actually one of the first ones early last year to support him, to say, let's give this guy a shot. Like, this is action Cuomo. If there's ever a moment that he would actually rise to the occasion, this could be it. And I actually argued against progressive members saying we should give him a shot. Within weeks, he failed. And we started connecting the dots. And around this time last year, we actually started investigating on how to impeach him because we started to see the pattern of covering up a line in nursing home data, which was a crime against humanity.
And it was that moment, you know, that phone call where he was like, he basically told you he was going to ruin you if you continued talking about this, right?
Yeah.
That's right. This wasn't just a playground. Bullying. He was abusing his power to force another lawmaker to lie and cover up for him. Cover up the cover up. That's what he was asking me to do. And at that point, you know, we didn't have a choice. We have to push back, go public, and hold him accountable.
Profile and Courage, Assemblyman Ron Kim from Queens. So another thing that caught my attention in this report, his aides initially said, we volunteered to help him with his book. No, we did it on our own time. And yet the real testimony that comes out of your report is one woman, one aide said, I'm not able to do my work on COVID because I'm so caught up working on his book. I mean, that is absolutely outrageous. And is there any way you can force him to give back that $5 million he got?
We absolutely have to claw back every cent. And the J-COB and the state has the authority to do that. To misuse public resources the way he did in the middle of a pandemic, when thousands of our loved ones are dying in New York State, for him to go after a lucrative book deal. For 4 months, he engaged in a war of contracts to try to get the maximum profits out of publishers. This is just beyond criminal. I mean, he he and anyone who participated must be held accountable.
You know, do you? I'm guessing you probably hear. Like, what's he? What is he? How does he spend his days now? I mean, he's been humiliated. He's been thrown out of office. Do you hear what he's up to? How does he spend his days?
He's spending every day trying to go after the woman who came out accused. You know, with telling their truths. I mean, he's trying. He's using his lawyer every other day, having press conferences to undermine Tish Sheamus's report and the assembly's report. And then he's trying to gaslight the public. I mean, what he should be doing is being contrite, apologize, and ask for forgiveness. But that's not in his DNA. And he's trying to use his multi-million dollar war chest to continue to push back. And you know, it's a disgrace for all politicians, all politics, most sides of the aisle.
Ron, let me ask you, though. He's got $18 million. Why is he allowed to keep it? This man is a criminal in so many ways, and he's allowed there to sit on $18 million that he can deploy against Tisha James. He can deploy against you if he wants to. I mean, this to me is outrageous.
Yeah, I would encourage anyone who has given money to Andrew Cuomo to demand that money to be returned. That's something that I called for months ago, and instead we actually spent the beginning of this year fundraising for him. Some of his top donors continued to give money to him, and he raised millions of dollars even early this year when the report came out. But now, you know, it's a whole different situation. Two independent reports have come out. Even the chair of the Judiciary Committee, who was an ethical lawyer, who chaired the ethics committee before, he didn't opine on this issue, but he literally called him a criminal yesterday. For someone like him, Chuck Levine, to use those heavy words, this has reached a point where we must have accountability, and without it, we're not meeting the moment of what the public wants.
Do you like what you've seen from Governor Hochul in terms of making amends to those nursing home families? I know she's met privately with them. I don't know what else she's done, but I know she's spoken with them at least.
She's reached out several times to the families, to me, and trying to make good on her commitments. But, you know, it's early to tell whether her empathy translates into real change. And that's what we want to see. Transformative change in taking care of our older adults. It shouldn't be this difficult. We shouldn't always be siding with special interest groups when protecting our most vulnerable members. And Kathy Hochul has a great opportunity to make those changes. And I hope that she gets there.
Ron, speaking of, we're talking to Assemblyman Ron Kim from Queens, a Democrat. And Ron, you have a personal connection to what happened in these nursing homes and this cover-up. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, in the middle of helping our constituents, trying to get reunited with nursing homes back in March, April of last year, my uncle, who was a veteran, served as a U.S. Army captain, but unfortunately he was in a nursing home for a few years. And we just assumed, as a veteran, as someone who served and paid his dues to his country, he was going to be taken care of. Well, within weeks, he died of presumed COVID, never got tested. We don't even know his death was counted in the death toll. You know, so to go through that experience on a personal level, but also represent the thousands of other families who felt betrayed by our state and the governor, I feel, you know, more motivated now than ever to continue to get to the truth and hold our state accountable for their bad decisions.
Yeah, the governor really did betray you, your family, your uncle, no doubt about it. And I wonder if at some point, and maybe we have it now, do we have a true number of how many people passed away from COVID in these nursing homes? Do we have a better tally today?
We have a more accurate number, but the one good thing about Governor Hochul is that their team is committed to consolidating everything to make sure the families know that this is the accurate number. And they may take a couple of months, but they're committed to getting to that point. We have a number because every county clerk's office has to file a death certificate. All we have to do is consolidate what the Department of Health has on the COVID deaths and the county deaths. Then we can figure out what the discrepancies are and explain, you know, where the gaps are and try to figure out the accurate number that way. And we can get there and hope that Governor Hochul means it when she wants to deliver on that.
Ron, before you run, are you willing to go on the record to tell us who you're going to support in the Democratic primary for governor?
I have not endorsed anyone. I'm supporting Zephyr Teachout for Attorney General because I believe she can be an independent prosecutor who can be the right balance to the executive office. She's not beholden to anyone. I will only support a governor candidate who does not take any money from nursing home and hospital special interest groups and lobbyists, and who will side with their families and patients and residents who have suffered way too much during this pandemic.
Good for you. All right, Assemblyman Ron Kim from Queens. Thanks, Ron. Good to talk to you. Thanks a lot. Appreciate
it. Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, up next, we've got some entertainment news for you. Now, Kevin Spacey, canceled, sadly, he's got to make a big payout. We'll tell you to whom and why when we get back. All right, a little entertainment news for you. Now, I have to tease this. I can't tell you what I think, but I will let you know what I did yesterday afternoon. I was invited to a screening of West Side Story, directed by Steven Spielberg, adapted by Tony Kushner from the great Broadway show with music by Leonard Bernstein, lyrics by the great Steve Sondheim, original book by Arthur Lawrence. And I saw it yesterday, and I can't talk about it because it doesn't come out for a week. So I'm kind of embargoed to be talking about it until next week. But I have, believe me, I have a lot to say on the subject. So you want to tune in next week, and you will get my review of Steven Spielberg's West Side Story.
Oh, was it good?
I can't say.
Was it bad?
No.
Well, here, give me the thumbs up. Was it good or bad?
What are you, the guess? What? No.
Yeah, just give us a wink. Just a wink.
Would you watch it again?
I can't, no. I cannot
volatate.
Just say,
would you watch it again?
I'm not.
Why'd you bring this up if you're just going to clam up?
Right.
You have to give us an indication, something.
If Len can say Johnny Oleksinski is coming up at 9:40, which, by the way, he is today, I can say that my review of West Side Story will be coming up next
Blink
week.
Blink twice if it was good, if it was awful.
I'm not doing
it. I think he said good.
Did he?
No, I didn't. I just said nothing.
Did you hear him say good? I think I did too, actually. So you liked it. You think it's a good movie?
I said absolutely nothing.
Wait, you're defying the embargo by saying it was a good movie. Are you giving a review right now? You're not supposed to be doing that.
No.
Do they throw you in jail if you do that?
I'm saying nothing about the movie. I'm just telling you, next week, I will have a lot to say, okay? I will have a lot to say.
What time? So I can write this down, so...
I would say Wednesday.
Okay.
Tune in on Wednesday. It's going to be explosive.
You know, you could beat everybody to the punch right now by just telling us what you think.
Forget the rest of the reviewers.
Who cares?
Talk about pre-promotion, Michael. I mean, this is over a week away. I know. It's appointment listening. I hope
absolutely.
I'm around.
Well, at your age, we don't know. What's our Facebook question? Oh, yeah, what is the, Natalie just said in my ear, answer our Facebook question. Our Facebook page is 710WOR. The Facebook question is, what dish do you pass up on at Thanksgiving? Now, for some cockamamie reason, Natalie and Noam say it's the turkey. I mean, hello, the whole entire meal is based around the turkey, and you're going to pass up
yes.
Star of the meal?
Yeah, definitely.
Can't wait to pass it on.
There's a lot of people who agree. They really do. Really? I like yours. I like yours.
Mine's the family. The family. Kidding.
There were definitely people who said they would pass on the dirty dishes, which I agree with.
Oh, that's good. That's a good one. I can do without... Isn't there something with marshmallows in it?
It's sweet potato, like a sweet potato dish with marshmallows on the top, which I am going to be making.
I love sweet potatoes. It's really good. Yeah, but I don't like those marshmallows.
I know the marshmallows are a little strange, but it just adds to the festive quality of it.
Listen, sweet potatoes, I love sweet potatoes, and they're one of the superfoods for you. But if you put marshmallows on it, it's like Thanksgiving 1976.
That's right. What's better than that? What's better than 1976 Thanksgiving? I had a great one that year.
My mother used to make the Jell-O mold, the round one. You know?
Of course.
She would drop carrots
floating around.
Yes, there was things floating in it, and it would be like 15 different colors. Disgusting. And I was like, where does this go in the meal? I don't even know where to put this on my plate.
Is it dessert?
Yes.
You don't know what it is.
Is it dessert? dessert? Is it part of the meal?
Well, go to Facebook. Go to our Facebook page, WOR710. Make sure you follow us. Another great response was, they will pass on the extra dish from the person who didn't show up. Nothing worse than, oh, sorry, can't come.
By the way, the tradition that I like, I didn't know about this until the other day. I think we're going to do it at my Thanksgiving. You begin the meal with a glass of champagne and raw oysters, which is a nice way, I think, to kick off a Thanksgiving meal. Yeah. So, hey, Kevin Spacey, have to be honest with you guys, friend of mine. He got canceled because apparently he, well, they say, although he hasn't been convicted of anything, they was going after young boys, this, that, and the other nonsense. Anyway, House of Cards, he was the great Frank Underwood in House of Cards. The producer of House of Cards is now trying to get Spacey to pay him $31 million for violating the sexual harassment policy. Do you know how much money the people who did House of Cards, Netflix, do you know how much money they made because of Kevin Spacey? Because he turned that into a super, super, super hit. And now they want $31 million from him. And he's been convicted of nothing. And in fact, some charges, remember that show up in Nantucket? The charges against him were thrown out.
Yeah, I mean, he could argue, hey, I'll do the role again. Just, you know, I don't have to pay a thing because I'm ready to do the role again.
Well, that's not going to
happen. But they've rewritten him out, so.
Well, the show's over with Joe. You may not have heard that, but good thing you're a newsman. All right, news time from Joe Bartlett, who does not know that House of Cards is finished.
No. Thank you, Michael. Intense security preparations for the Macy's Thanksgiving Day. I'm not even going to go there, you know. I tell you what, next Wednesday, when you give our movie review, I'll give you a response.
Okay. Fair enough.
Mayor de Blasio says no credible threats against the Thanksgiving Day parade. He was asked about that, obviously, because of what happened in the Wisconsin Christmas parade, where that vehicle plowed into the crowd, killing five people. Officials there in Waukesha say the rampage had no links to terrorism, but the suspect, 39-year-old Daryl Brooks, does have a long rap sheet and was apparently fleeing from a previous domestic disturbance before he drove into the crowd, killing five, injuring 48, and a lot of those injured are young children. The more the video was out yesterday, it's just absolutely horrific. And one of the things they say about the New York City Thanksgiving Day Parade is that they block off the streets so you can't get vehicles onto the parade route. And obviously that didn't happen in Wisconsin. After all the accusations, former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has faced, a new poll out from Politico shows that he could actually beat Mayor de Blasio if the two ran against each other in the race for governor. Yes, de Blasio has lower poll numbers than Cuomo. Cuomo gets 15% of the support, de Blasio just 5%. Now, speaking of Cuomo, yet another new accuser is being heard from. Here's WOR's Alice Stockton Rossini.
Sherryville accused Andrew Cuomo in March of manhandling her when he visited her flood-ravaged home just outside Rochester in 2017. But she wasn't listed as one of the governor's accusers in the state assembly's original report released in August. She is listed in a new report released yesterday. The married mother of three claims Cuomo forcibly kissed her while touring her home, grabbed her hand as he left, told her she was beautiful, kissed her again without consent, and then sent her pictures of the visit. Alice Stockton Rossini, WOR News.
Yeah, so what do you think about that, Len? Oh, gosh, he's not here today. Oh, darn it.
Joe, I always said he shouldn't run for a fourth term. I've never wavered on my belief that he should not run for a fourth term.
Some wild allegations from that woman out the West. Wow. Yeah. All right, the defense in the Ahmaud Arbery case claimed in closing arguments that the defendants tried to lighten the situation before they shot and killed this black guy. The attorney for defendant Travis McMichael said the three men being charged were concerned about rising crime in their neighborhood and had weapons training. The three white men claimed they thought the unarmed 25-year-old man was a burglar and they were trying to make a citizen's arrest, and it just went bad. Finally here, more people are saying that they're going to have to scale back holiday celebrations because of inflation. New CBS poll puts the number at 71% scaling back because things are just too expensive. Out of 2,000 people surveyed last week, two-thirds called the economy bad and blame inflation, rising cost, and gas prices. More than half say it's taking longer, too, for items to be delivered. 64% say they can't even find what they're looking for on store shelves. This is not good for the president, so this afternoon he's going to give a speech and fix everything at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, I bet. I'm trying
one of the things he's releasing some oil reserves, so that's going to help, hopefully, lower the price of gasoline.
Trying to figure out how to scale back my upcoming wedding. I think we're going to announce it's a cash bar. Do you think that could work?
Oh, man.
Oh, that'll go over big.
Cash that bar. Would hold down attendance.
Yeah, well, hello. That's the point. Hope Christina's not listening, as she was earlier this morning. All right. Thanks, Joe. Speaking of inflation, up next, our pal Connell McShane, chief national correspondent for the Fox Business Network, is going to be with us. Biden is going to give a speech today about inflation. What's he going to say? We will find out. From Connell McShane, coming up next. York. Okay, always fun to have on the program, Connell McShane, our old pal from the Imus days. And get this, Noam, Connell is now the chief national correspondent for the Fox, and also clearing his throat there. Connell now, Noam, is
right.
The chief. Connell and Noam is now the chief national correspondent for the Fox Business Network. Now, do you remember when Connell was just Imus's newsreader back in the day?
I do, yeah.
Look at how far Connell has come.
Moved big time, yeah.
He has, absolutely. So the peripatetic Connell McShane is with us. Good morning, Connell. How are you?
I think a lot of longtime Imus fans would say he's now been demoted to being the chief national correspondent at the Fox Business Network. But thank you, Riedel. And good morning, Noam.
Good morning.
Hey. All right, Connell, let's get right to it. As you know, I was one of the very first economists to introduce the topic of inflation before anybody else was thinking about this. And now Biden is going to give a speech on inflation today. My feeling, Connell, is that they got to get this thing under control because inflation could be the straw that breaks this Biden camel's back.
That is deep. I'm surprised they haven't asked you to appear alongside the president at the White House this afternoon. You know, it pains me to say it, Riedel, but you actually were ahead of many people. I noticed that you tried to slip the term economist in there, economist Michael Riedel. One of the few, by the way, who combines film critic an economist in their resume, but that's why you're big time. I mean, I think the president now has decided to, release oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve this morning, and it appears to be one of these joint moves because other countries are taking part: China, India, Japan, South Korea, and the UK. I don't really know how much impact that's going to have. I mean, it might help a little bit on the margins, but we're in a pretty tough spot. It's not just higher gasoline and oil prices that are the problem here. This seems to be more widespread than that and probably sticking around a little bit longer than some of the actual economists had predicted. So as much as we give you a hard time, Riedel, you might be the one that turns out being right on this, because it doesn't seem right now, at least, that this is in any way, transitory, as the Federal Reserve was claiming at the beginning. And, the oil release might help a little bit, but, looks like we're in for a period of higher inflation for, at least heading into sometime next year, and then we'll see what happens.
Yeah, so the president's going to make this speech about inflation and talking about the fact that they're going to let some of the oil out of the oil reserves, but he can't really do anything about what's going on now. I mean, the numbers that we're seeing at the supermarket aren't going to change. I'm guessing there's nothing he can do immediately about it where we'd see price changes anywhere.
Yeah, I think that's why he's moving on with the oil release, because that's one of the few things that presidents can do. Now, Republicans are going to push back, and they already are. I mean, I was just actually, when I was on hold, I was reading this statement that came out from Senator John Barrasso, who's the ranking member on the Senate Energy Committee, Republican out of Wyoming, and he's blaming the president's policies for inflation to begin with, and says tapping the reserve won't fix it. He says, Senator Barrasso, that we're experiencing higher prices because the administration is waging a war on American energy, either eliminating or severely restricting access to America's oil and natural gas resources on federal lands and waters. So the point that the Republicans are going to make is that, hey, your policies have put us in this position, so all you're going to do by releasing the oil from the reserves is maybe roll back a little bit of that. But I think, Noam, you're right. I mean, if you look at where inflation has become a problem, it's almost everywhere. We see it not only in the grocery store, but then we see it
from a company's point of view in rising wages. Now, the problem for regular people is that the numbers will show you that the rising wages are not keeping up with the overall rate of inflation. But still, when companies have to raise their wages to attract talent, because we've had this worker shortage, which we've been talking about now for months, it's not like they're going to undo that anytime soon. And then usually that does lead to higher prices on the other end, is because they have to raise the prices of the products they're selling. And that doesn't even get us into this whole supply chain problem that we have. Now, that's why economists were predicting that this would be temporary, is that they figured that whole the holdup in the supply chain and the problems we're having in the ports, that would sort of fix itself going into next year, and it might lead to an easing of inflation. So it might lead to a little bit of an easing of these inflation fears next year, but the overall rate of inflation, I think it's fair to say, is going to stay elevated for some a period of time because of all those the factors that are at play.
Talking to Connell McShane, the chief national correspondent for the Fox Business Network. Now, Connell, I guess if inflation is here to stay, one way to combat it is the Fed has to start raising interest rates. And that wreaks its own kind of havoc, does it not?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we, three of us, if you think about it, we haven't really lived through an environment like this, a high inflationary environment, as adults at least, for an extended period of time. I mean, because you have to go back quite a while. And the Fed chairman that really fought inflation did so effectively, but it was painful, was Paul Volcker, becoming in before Alan Greenspan in the late 70s and then heading into the 1980s. So it was, it was a painful time in the 1970s where people actually did live through it. And, I don't know that we're going through something like that or we're going to go through something like that again. But you're right. The idea of being able to combat something like this effectively is not pain-free. And I think with Jay Powell, the Fed chairman, now going to be renominated, and that was kind of interesting that the president chose to go in that direction, but it shows you that, I think politically he's fairly damaged in other areas, that he was going to finally in some ways stand up to the progressives in his party who were pushing for him to go in a different direction and say, I have got to cave in here, so to speak, to the Wall Street interests, the moderates, and to the Republicans to some extent, and go with someone they know, so that the stock market doesn't become my latest problem, because the president has another whole list of problems. So he decided to go with Jay Powell, and I think Powell will be now in this funny spot where he was criticized at the beginning of his term for not doing enough to combat inflation, being late to the game in terms of hiking rates. He's going to have to do it, and he knows it, and that's obviously the way we're going. I mean, it's almost a done deal at the next meeting that we'll see higher interest rates from the Fed.
Absolutely. All right. Connell McShane, chief national correspondent for the Fox Business Network. Connell, if you ever want to tap my intellectual economic mind, I'm here for you, my friend.
Yeah,
just give me a call.
You
got
well, you should keep that in reserve as well.
Thanks, Connell. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, Connell McShane. Okay. Right. Hey, up next, this is a good story. One woman, she's a thief. She's found a great way to know if you're not home so she can break in. It's a very good scheme, and that's coming up next.
Four.
Little sad news to report this morning. Malika Shabazz, she was the daughter of Malcolm X, the great civil rights pioneer and African-American leader. His daughter, Malika Shabazz, was found dead inside her home in Brooklyn yesterday. And don't really have any details on that. No foul play is suspected. And, I was fascinated by Malcolm X, Noam, because you remember that the two guys who were alleged to have assassinated him were exonerated last week. So I picked up a book I've had on my shelf for years. I never read it, called The Autobiography of Malcolm X.
It's a great book.
Fantastic book. I mean, I'm whipping through that thing. And remember, it was Malcolm X as told to Alex Haley, who went on to write Roots, another great book. It's an absolutely sensational book. I mean, beautifully written by Alex Haley, but it's Malcolm X's words, and it's painful, it's moving. It is a seminal work of American history that I commend to everybody who wants to know about. And I'm not an anti. I don't think the country's bad or terrible, but we had some issues back then, and Malcolm X deals with those things during the civil rights. And it's a great. When did you read it, Noam?
Oh, years ago, long time ago. Yeah. You know, the Spike Lee movie. Also, I know that maybe his name is not so popular around here, but I thought the Spike Lee movie about Malcolm X was excellent. I mean, dead
I haven't seen it, but I want to watch it now. Yeah, I want to watch it now. So, if you haven't read the autobiography of Malcolm X, you got to read that book. Absolutely terrific. And we're sorry to see that his daughter has been discovered dead in her apartment. And also his wife, Betty Shabazz. I knew Betty Shabazz way back in the day. I interviewed her a couple of times for the Daily News as a kid reporter. She was terrific, fascinating, interesting woman. And she had that horrible death. Remember her grandson?
Yeah, right.
Inadvertently set her apartment on fire, and that's how she died?
I do remember. He was like a teenager or something, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, I think he was. No, I don't think he was that old. I think he was a teenager, but a terrible, terrible
Yeah,
stuff,
and you know, so. She was born, I think, 7 months after her father was killed.
The Audubon Ballroom.
Yeah, and her twin. She has a twin.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, we send out our condolences to the family of Malika Shabazz. So, now, tell me, Noam, about this woman who's come up with a scheme to rob people's houses.
You got to love people who are wickedly cruel, but also just genius in the way they pull things off. And that's what this woman is. Her name is Alina Stewart. And she came up with this ploy to rob people that really worked. So she would go online and peruse the obituaries, and she would look for somebody who had lost a spouse. And she would do so only in these wealthy neighborhoods. So it would be like Rye, New York, or one of those wealthy Scarsdale in Westchester. And so the next day she knew, or she would look to see when the funeral times were. And then she would go to their houses knowing not a soul would be there, and she would rob them. And some of these people were enormously wealthy, so she'd go in, take jewels, take silverware, take paintings, and bring them back to her house. And she pulled this off for about a year or so she was doing this.
Well, wait. If these people are so wealthy, don't they have burglar alarms or, you know, fences and gates and that kind of stuff?
You're finding them at a vulnerable moment. Yeah. Maybe they're not.
They forgot to turn off the alarm.
But I've heard about this for a while, and I know people who don't put things into the paper or now online with times and dates because of that reason alone.
Right.
I mean, this has been going on for a long time. This has happened. And yeah, it's absolutely awful.
Some of these older families too, they don't necessarily have burglar alarm. You know, they just they just don't have it on their house. But finally, the police caught on to her and her creepy ways. And so yesterday she was sentenced to 10 years. That's not a lot, but she did get 10 years behind bars. Because you can imagine the devastation. You're coming home from a funeral. You have buried the person, your spouse, the person you've spent most of your life with.
And your house has been ransacked.
Yeah, and your house has been ransacked by this woman. It's just so awful. And you wonder about people like that. I mean, it is sort of an ingenious idea. And you think, geez, if she had gone a different way, she might have been successful in a real job as opposed to breaking into old people's houses.
I knew this woman. She was a stage manager on Broadway. And this is back, she's now dead, but she told me back in the 70s, she would scan the obituary pages. And if somebody died, she'd run right over to their apartment building and ask the landlord if she could snap up the apartment that they were living in.
Yeah, that's a common one. I've heard that before, too. And sometimes it works, by the way.
Well, it worked because, you know, Gig Young, remember the old actor Gig Young?
Yes.
He killed his wife and then killed himself in the Osborne. And she ran over there and she said, I hear 4A is available. I said, it is. And she got it.
That's awesome.
Pretty ingenious. All right, coming up next, Sarah Isker. She's the ABC News political analyst. She joins us. What is the political fallout of the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict? Sarah has the news. And we've got Bill Bratton. Don't forget this. He's coming up at 8:35. He's got lots to say about who the new police commissioner could be. That's all coming up. But now the news, 8 o'clock.